God, and you'll be a better person, have more peace in your Christian life. Just to go ahead and tell yourself and the devil and serve notice on the enemy that you're not going back. God's been too good to you. God's been too good to me to go back and turn back now. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, let's stand together and we'll reverence God's word and stretch your legs a moment. I'm going to read just a few verses here. Verse 36. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you for coming. You're honored guests. We're so glad to have you. And those of you that are members, we're glad to have you as well. Matthew 26, verse 36. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus." Well, what a way to start the verse. When Jesus comes, that's always a good thing. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And here's our text verse. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Up toward the beginning of the text that we read, Jesus took the disciples as they're entering into Gethsemane, and we all know what Gethsemane was. We know what Gethsemane was leading up to. It was leading up to where he would be crucified, where he, the Lord Jesus, would take on him the sin of the world, where Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, would take your sin, and he would become your sin, and he would bear your sin and mine, the weight of the world. I mean, all the sin that had ever been committed, all the way back to Adam, and then future tense, all the way to the last sin of the last sinner would ever be committed. Jesus, in that very moment, would take on him all sin. No wonder he was praying. No wonder he was wearied and burdened, and no wonder his soul was exceeding sorrowful, because he who knew no sin was about to become sin for me and for you. You would think if there was ever a time that Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, those disciples that were the inner circle, you would think if there was ever a time that they would be prayed up and awake and alert and ready to be by the Lord Jesus' side, it would be then. Amen. But we read not once, not twice, but three times where Jesus came back and found them sleeping on him when he needed them the most. And so that's sort of the context of what's going on. But we read in those verses, Jesus took his disciples so far. All of them. And then he chose three of them and said, come with me even further. Go a little further with me and pray and watch and pray with me. And so With that being the case, I want to preach this morning on the subject of overtime Christians. And I began thinking about work and serving and this thing of really work is broken down in three categories. You have part-time work, full-time work, and then overtime work. And I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But here, Jesus took the disciples so far, then asked three of them to do more, to go further, to pray longer, to seek and stand with him, and to do some things that wasn't necessary, that they wasn't mandated to do, but he was inviting them to come and do more and work a little overtime, to go a little further and to do a little more. And I was thinking how I could open this message this morning. I remember when I was in my early 20s, my mama came to Tommy and said, Michael wants a job. He wants to work for me. And I had never heard my mama tell a lie until that. Now, lie, lie, lie. I didn't want a job. I wanted a paycheck, but I didn't want to work. I sure didn't want to work overtime. But I was thinking about this thing of work and part-time, full-time, and overtime. And I believe we can learn something from that as we examine overtime Christianity. Part-time is when you work as it's convenient to you. You set your schedule, you set your hours, and you do it when it's convenient, when you want to do it. Full-time means a normal work week. It means this is what you do. It's that 40-hour week. It's what's required. But then overtime is an addition to the normal week. It's above and beyond the 40-hour requirement of work. That's true on the job, and that's also true in our spiritual life and our spiritual walk with God. How many of you know a part-time Christian? There's part-time Christians out there. And just to bring it home, there's part-time Christians in here this morning. There's some Christians that feel like they're doing God a favor by showing up to church or by uttering a prayer in the morning, or God forbid, taking your hat off and praying over a meal. That ain't doing God a favor. I would even classify that as part-time. That ain't even nothing over and beyond. But they are part-time Christians, but thank the Lord, they are some full-time Christians here. And if you're a full-time Christian, I applaud that, and I say praise the Lord. Morningstar Baptist Church needs a bunch of full-time Christians. Amen. The darker this world gets, there's not room. There's not place for part-time Christianity. If you're going to be a Christian in this hour and day that we live in, you better get engaged and say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to do this part-time. I'm not going to add this on. I'm not going to do it only when it's convenient to me. No, I'm going to make it. And so by making it and making up my mind, I'm going to make it. Just like they're saying, I've come too far to turn back. Listen, get in. Get all the way in. Because you can't afford to be part-time. And our church can't afford for you to be part-time. We need full-time, all hands on deck Christians. Amen. Ain't you glad you ain't got a part-time God? Ain't you glad that God's on time all the time? He's on call all the time. He never leaves us hanging. And so it ain't too much for God to expect from us that we be full-time. Sadly, though, they are part-time Christians. Only a Christian when it's convenient. They're interested in church when it's convenient. They're interested in what the Word of God says when it's convenient or when they need it. They're interested in praying when they need to get a prayer through. When they've got some bad news from a doctor, when their marriage is falling apart. Oh, they're interested in church and the Word of God and prayer then because it's convenient and needed. But listen to me. If you want those things to mean something to you, if you want the church to have impact and influence in your life, and if you want the Word of God to have a dominant role in your life,
and you want prayer, I mean prayer to be something that you can go to and use and it get answers from God and move the heart and hand of God, then you can't just use it like a spare tire when you need it or when it's convenient. No, it's something, it's a life that you got to live, and it's a prayer life that you got to develop and deepen. And your relationship with the Word of God and the church of God is the same. There's too many people wanting to do this thing part-time and expect God to give full-time reward. And it don't work that way. So there's some part-time. Then there's some full-time Christians here this morning. By that I mean, you're here when the church doors are open. Basically, when it's required. You do what? That's what a full-time employee is. They do what's required. That ain't saying they go above and beyond, but you can count on them. They're going to be there. You ain't got to worry about them calling in 2 or 3 days a week sick, and or my car's broke down, and my dog's sick, and blah, blah, blah. No, they're full-time. There's some of you, I don't ever, if I look your direction where you sit and don't see you, I get concerned because I know you are serious and you're full-time and I count on you to be here. Ain't it a sad testimony when the preacher looks for your pew and looks for where you sit and sees it missing and sees you absent? That it's like, oh, well, and it don't alarm him at all. Just another week. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. That's a terrible testimony. You ought to be able to be counted on. And those same people, this is amazing to me. Brother Jimmy, those same people are the ones who will get mad and pitch a fit because I didn't put them in a position. Well, how am I going to be able to use you somewhere if I can't trust you and have confidence that you're going to be here? How are you going to teach a class, or how are you going to preach a sermon, or how are you going to sing a special when I don't even know if you're going to be here? Full-time Christians are those Christians who do what's required. They will honor God and do what's required, but they are going to do just that, the bare minimum. You'll be here, but that's it. Don't ask me to do more. Don't ask me to give more. Don't ask me to sacrifice more. Just, I'll be there. I'll read my Bible because I'm supposed to, and I'll pray every day because I'm supposed to, but don't ask any more. I'll give my tithe, but don't ask no more. Well, you may be full-time. You may be full-time, but just doing what you have to do ain't going to bring you joy in the Christian life. They'll honor God and do what's required, but they are going to do the bare minimum as a full-time Christian. But here's where I want to challenge us all this morning. If you are a part-time or a full-time Christian, I want us all to leave here this morning saying, Lord, if there's any extra work, if there's any extra time on the calendar, if I can punch in and do something more for you, I'm willing to become an overtime Christian. Amen. Our church needs that. Your family needs you to be that. God wants you and desires for you to be that, to do above and beyond. Sign me up, Lord. Let me have that task. Let me have that job. Let me serve you. I heard of this guy. He worked on a job and he was always pulling up the rear, if you know what that means. Everybody at the job was always finished with their job and cleaning up while they were still waiting on this old boy, bless his heart, to get done. He was just slow as they come. And the boss man, being so frustrated one day, said, hey boy, don't you have another gear? He said, yes, sir, I sure do, but if you think this one's slow, you don't want to see my other gear. We as the children of God must figure out that there is another gear, and it's not doing less, but it's doing more. You see, you just don't know how busy I am. You just don't understand how many obligations I've got. I'm telling you this morning, if you're too busy to do more for God, you're too busy. We shouldn't fill our calendars and our schedules so full that we have to fit God like a puzzle piece in the corner somewhere and say, okay, God, you can have this that's left. No, I still remember the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It'd be amazing to us all if we would learn to seek God first and put Him first like we do our tithe. Listen, if you tithe, you shouldn't ever. I had this conversation with a couple in our church recently. And they said, we just can't pay our bills and that we just come up short every month. I said, are you tithing? Yeah. Well, after we get our bills paid, we just always come short. I said, ding, 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 Johnny, we have a winner. That's the problem. You trying to pay your bills and pay everybody else and pay Uncle Sam his and then leave God to last and try to fit Him in, and it never works. Learn with your time, your treasure, and your talents to go to God and give to God first, and then He will add His blessing on it. Amen. By the way, God don't need your tithe. You need to tithe and have the blessing of God that comes on the rest of what you have. In today's society, if you just show up and do the bare minimum, sadly, you'll be exceptional at your job. That's how terrible and low the job force has got. If I hear this once, I hear it 100 times. I just can't find nobody that wants to work. Y'all heard that? Any of you business owners or people who hire people to work, it's slim pickings out there to find anybody that has any kind of work ethic or who desires to work. I mean, if you will just show up to your job, stay till it's over, and be there every day that you're on the schedule, you're liable to be running that place in a month or two. That's how terrible it is out there. I mean, just show up and be there and do your job as well as you can do it, day in and day out. It'll amaze you how fast you'll move up the ladder just by going above and beyond what everybody else ain't willing to do. And I'll say more about that in a minute. God's looking for some people who will go above and beyond, who will work and serve above and beyond that's required of them. Doing the minimum today in the workforce will make you exceptional, but if you do more than the minimum and go above and beyond and show up early and work thoroughly, and you stay not till you're done, but till the job's done, There is an excellence in that, and that will cause others to notice. And I promise you, you will move up. You will be compensated, and there's no telling how high you can go if you'll just do that. Give it your all. That's true in the workforce, and that's true in the service of God and in your walk with God. God will promote you. God don't owe any man anything. God pays his debts, and God will see to it and not overlook your effort. Amen. Whether anybody's looking or not, God's looking, and He takes good records. And if you go above and beyond, I promise you, God will not leave you hanging. Period. I want to examine quickly three areas that pertain to overtime on the job, but also pertains to overtime in the service of God and our walk with God. Number one, overtime is optional. You don't have to do it. It's optional. You can or you don't have to. But in most jobs, a 40-hour work week is minimum. That's what is expected. But anything over and above that, by law, is considered overtime. 40 is the minimum. And anything above that is optional. I want to tell you, in the Christian life, there are many similarities, many things in the Christian life that should be seen as the minimum. I said 40 hours in the workforce is the minimum to be full-time. Above and beyond that is optional. In the Christian life, listen, there are some things that should be considered the minimum. Like I said earlier, coming to church, that's on Sundays, giving God your Sunday. By the way, this ain't Stephen's day. This ain't Michael's day. This is the Lord's day. It's His. And so to say, I come to church Sunday morning and I may even come back Sunday night. Well, Well, should we give you a hand clap of applause now? No, listen, that's the minimum. That's the bare minimum to make it to church. That's elementary and primary. Say, well, I give my tithe. Let me pat your back. God bless you. That's the minimum. If all you're doing is tithing, that's the minimum. You say, well, I prayed this morning. Well, good. You should have, and you need to. That's the minimum. Well, I read my Bible verses this morning. I struggled through it, and I plowed through it, but I did it. That's the minimum. Every Christian should go to church on Sunday. Every Christian should read their Bible daily. Every Christian should pray every day. When's the last time you prayed in public over your meal? People just quit. I began looking over the past few weeks. You hardly ever see anybody bow their head over a meal anymore. Lord, have mercy. That ought to be the least we can do, to pause for a moment and say, thank you, God, for giving me another meal. Y'all try it. Work up the courage and say, I ain't going to eat another bite of food. I don't care if I'm in public or at the house without saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. That's the minimum we ought to do. Say, thank you, Lord. God give us His word. God let men be burned at the stake and blood-stained paths all down through history to get us the word of God, the pure, perfect word of God. The least we can do is read it. God opened up an avenue for us to be able to talk to Him in heaven. Anytime, as often as we want, to go to the throne room of grace, the least we could do would be use that and talk to God. So going to God's house on Sundays, it's a minimum. Praying every day is a minimum. I heard about an old farmer. He was sitting at a diner, and he took his hat off and dusted it off and bowed his head and prayed and blessed the food. A young businessman walked up to him and said, hey, old timer, does everybody back where in the woods pray over meals like you do? He thought a minute and he said, well, son, the hogs don't, about everybody else does. Sometimes we are like pigs in slop. We just go about our business, dive in our food, and never even think about God providing it for us. It's just the minimum. Praying over our meals and praying to start our day, that ain't being deeply sold out to God. That's just a minimum. But sadly, many have got away from opening their day talking to the Lord. I'm telling you, I encourage you, start your day, get you a calendar or get your app out or whatever you do on your phone, and start marking the days that you take time to talk to God in the morning and open your Bible and read it for a minute. It changes your days. You'll be able to tell on the calendar your good days and your bad days just off those two small things alone. That's right. When you pick up your Bible within 1 minute, you can literally turn your thoughts toward God just by opening this book. That's powerful. And you can set the course of your day just by praying and opening your Bible. You can read the Bible every day, and that is the least we could do and should do. I believe giving our tithes, as I said, is the least we could do. To give God back 10 measly percent of what He's given us, that's a bare minimum. Now, this is Missions Month, and there'll be a lot more said next week and moving forward about faith promise and giving. But God said, you read Malachi chapter 3, God said, you have robbed me of my tithe. And it don't stop there. Brother Ned, it says you have robbed me of my tithe and offerings. The Bible said the tithe is the Lord's. If all you're doing is giving a tenth, and sadly, a lot of people, I know this Sunday morning people don't like preaching on giving, and I hardly preach on giving. But you need to hear it. You'd be amazed how many people in our churches don't tithe. Do you know what you're doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You are begging God to curse what you have. I ain't going to call their name, but I had some family who was pretty well off, and you couldn't have convinced them with a 2x4 that tithing was right and that they could live better off 90% with the blessing of God than they could 100% without it. And they died a stingy, old, greedy miser. I mean, they didn't want to give, period, to nothing. That's a miserable way to live. If you want the joy of the Lord and experience the goodness of God, learn how to give. I mean that. God taught us by example. He is a giver and He's a rewarder of them. Listen, God will bless you. God will double your things. God will pour blessing after blessing. He said, give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken, and running over. And I'm telling you, you want to see souls in heaven that's there linked to you? I mean, people walking streets of gold that are there walking it because you gave. I do. There's people in probably every continent of the world that'll be in heaven one day because I prayed that God would save them. I gave that God could get the gospel to them. And you should do that. Either we believe it or we don't. Either we believe that salvation is of the Lord and that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, or we don't. I believe it. I don't have to be the one preaching it. I don't have to be the one there. I believe the gospel is powerful enough on the other side of the world that if any man will stand up and proclaim the gospel, men, women, boys, and girls can be saved and will be saved and go to heaven when they die. That's why I give blindly. That's why I give to people I'll never see till I get to heaven, because I believe it. So, reading your Bible, coming to church, praying, that's all the minimum. Before I start asking you to give overtime and to work overtime, I'm going to ask some of you to bump it up from part-time just to full-time. It's hard to go from part-time right into overtime. You got to hit the full time. You got to do what's required. You got to do what's expected first. And so, if you're on the sideline, if you've been trying to do it yourself and come when you can and do what you can when you want to, your want to will get broke. You ain't always gonna want to be a Christian. You know what? Listen, I ain't bragging, Brother J.D., but you know why I come to church every Sunday? Not because I'm the preacher, Brother Ned. You know why I come every Sunday and Wednesday? Because a long time ago, I realized, Brother Raymond, there's times I don't want to go. Even being the preacher, I don't want to go. A lot of times. But I made up my mind a long time ago, whether I feel like it or whether I don't, church is important. I mean, it's vital, not just to me, but to my marriage. It's vital, not just to me and my spiritual well-being, but it's not just to my marriage, but to my children. And by the grace of God, if I can get my wife and my children, my four daughters, in the house of God and around the presence of God, listen, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to get them there because it's worth it. And we've trained our children at the goodness of God by us giving. They've seen us, when we didn't have it, give to those who had it less. And then they've seen God fill our porches full of food and bags of groceries and pay our bills because they've seen and experienced the goodness of God. They've seen the Word of God come to life in their life. Listen, your children need you to prove that and show that to them and live that in front of them. We need to stop giving God less than He deserves. We need to stop giving God less than He paid for. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. To some of you that's been part-time, today would be as good a day as any to start, to bump it up to full-time and go full-time with God in your walk with God and your service to God and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to give God my Sundays. I'm going to honor God with my Sundays. I'm going to honor God when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to give Him some time. I'm going to pray to Him. I'm going to read about Him. I'm going to talk to Him, and I'm going to commune with Him. And I'm going to let God speak to me and my family through His house, through His Word, and through prayer. I'm going to honor God with my tithe and my offering. I'm going to honor God with a full-time Christian life. You know what the mark of being a true Christian is? If you don't leave with nothing this morning, take this home. The mark of being a true Christian is doing things that you're not required to do. You don't have to read your Bible to get into heaven. You don't have to pray to get into heaven. God didn't mandate you got to do this many of any. You don't have to give to go to heaven. It ain't required. You just had to trust. Repent of your sin and trust Him as Lord. Confess with your mouth. That's what you got to do to be saved. The rest of it is for your good and God's glory. But He don't make you. You want to be a Christian? I ain't talking about saved. I mean be a Christian. Get willing to do some things that God don't make you do. Start doing things even when people ain't watching. I mean, in the darkness of your home, when no eyeballs are watching, when nobody knows, start giving to people. When nobody, you know, I could get in trouble here. Lord, help my mouth. Be careful. You know what my pet peeves is? Somebody to give something and then go tell the whole world, look what I gave. People's give me stuff before and then they box me in to make me bitter at them because they give to me. I'm like, if you're going to give to him and be done with it. If you're going to give to God, give it to him and wash your hands of it and let God have it and move on. But when you give to somebody and then expect from them, that ain't giving. That's a hostage situation is what that is. I'd rather just kept it.
Amen.
I'm sincere. I got to hurry. I want to give God what He deserves, and I want to give back to my church because, listen, I've received so much help from God. I do not want to become a reservoir. I don't want to become just a place where all the things flow into me and I just take and take and take and take. No, I want to be a channel. I want to be an outlet where God can pour in and then I pour out to other people. God, help us as a church not to just be a place that takes and receives and takes. No, God has given and God has been too good to us for us just to receive it and to absorb it and to take it in and not to give back out to other people. God, help us to be a channel and not just absorb things and say, look how much we've got. God's blessed us and been good to us so that we can be good stewards of it and use it to bless and help others. That's right. I want to be more than part-time or even full-time. I want to go overtime. Listen to these verses. And we're going to get to all this. We'll get to the other two tonight. But listen to these verses. I'm talking about doing above and beyond that is required. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. I was just going to read that, but that's too good. JD, come here, let me illustrate. No, I'm just kidding. Let me smack you upside the head and see if you'll turn the other cheek. That's hard to do. That's easy preaching and hard living. If somebody really smacks you upside the head, it's hard to say, here, do this one too. I've always wondered if I do that one too, then can I hit them? No. Listen, it goes on to say, and if a man will sue thee at the law and take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. In Jesus' day, Rome occupied Israel. And a Roman soldier with all of his military garb and his sword and shield and all that heavy equipment by the government just decreeing it. If a Roman soldier's walking down the road and sees a Jew, all he has to do is say, I compel thee, carry my stuff. And a Jew would have to drop what they was doing and pick up all that stuff of that Roman soldier and carry it a mile. Do you know how infuriating that made the Jew? I mean, they were already in captivity and in bondage, and then here comes an arrogant, cocky Roman soldier and says, ha, I don't care what your plans today is, big boy. Carry my stuff. Don't you know it made them boiling mad? Amen. And here comes Jesus saying, if he asks you to carry it a mile, that's what the government requires. Carry it too. That ain't easy. That's being an overtime Christian. Not doing it because you have to, but doing it to prove to them that there's something more than religion and just dried up, dead. No, this is real. I have a relationship with God, and I'm different than all those others who claim to be what I claim to be. This is Matthew chapter number 5. Listen. At the end of the mile, they had fulfilled their legal obligation, and they could sit it down. But Jesus said, don't just go 1 mile, go 2. Don't just do the minimum, do the max. Be a real Christian. Show them. And I'm closing this morning, but hear me. The Beatitudes, I'll say more about this tonight. That whole Sermon on the Mount, that whole sermon where Jesus got up and talked about the Beatitudes and blessed is the man, blessed is... Do you know that is just a list that God put up on the board? Those ain't requirements. Those ain't obligations. But Jesus put up a whole bunch on the board to say, if you want some overtime, here they are. This is how you can go above and beyond. If you want to prove to people, if you want to really be blessed, then love your enemy and then be humble and show those people that this ain't just religion, but that you have a relationship with me. And you talking about overtime? Read the Beatitudes and try to put them in shoe leather. They ain't easy. It's out of the same barrel as what Jesus said here about that Roman soldier, carry it too, when all they compelled you to do is carry it once. It'd be like saying, give double. Do twice as much. Go twice as far. Here's one that we can all yawn and say, can you please let us go? Let's stay at church twice as long. Well, y'all would rather give twice as much than do that. I heard of this really happened. This 80-year-old woman, she'd been to this church all her life, and this preacher got to notice, and they had this big old clock like we do on the back wall. I thought about doing this. And this lady, she sat right over here. And every Sunday morning at 12:05, she would do like this and make a scene and just turn and just stare at that clock and just ignore the preacher, and she just turned her whole body and she would stare at the clock like that. Well, that went on week in, week out. And that preacher said, my goodness, that's getting to me, and that's bothering me. And so during the week, he was praying, and I don't know if he got this from the Lord or not, but he got this thought, and he said, I'm going to go put a picture of me back there on the wall and replace that clock with a picture of me, so when she turns around, she'll be looking at me. And he did. He put a big old portrait of himself back there, and sure enough, here comes Sunday morning, and she, 5:12, she turned around and she looked, and there he was, staring back at her. And he said something to the effect of, time ain't on your side, or something of that nature. And she said, no, that's an eternal damnation that you put up there. but we getting... I try, really, and I know I get called long-winded, but I try to get y'all here quick. I try to be respectful of your time. I used to preach, y'all would not last. I used to preach way, way longer than I do now. Usually, on Wednesday nights, we out here by 8 o'clock. Sunday mornings, I try to get you here by 12 or a few minutes after. Sunday nights, a little bit longer. But my goodness, we come here, I hope, to get in, not to get out. We come here to hear from God, not to say, God, you have this long to speak. Because I'm going to tell you something. God don't work that way. God ain't a jack in the box. And you don't wind him up and say, bless me if you can in this little... No, he's God. Amen. And some things are worth waiting on. And God, this is a principle in the Word of God. God will do things to see if you will keep calling, to see if you'll keep praying, to see if you'll keep coming, and to see if you'll keep sitting and waiting for him to answer. And I'm afraid sometimes we're in too big of a hurry to hear from God. Amen. So, overtime, number one, is optional. Number two, tonight, we're going to look at it, not only is it optional, but it's also profitable. By definition, the more you work, the more you get paid. It's the same case in your spiritual life. The more you're willing to put in, the more you're going to get out. And then not only is it optional and it's profitable, but number three, overtime is noticed. When it comes time for the boss man to hire somebody new or give raises, you know who they look for? They've noticed them that's been there when nobody else would be. They've noticed those who would go over and cut the lights out so the preacher don't have to stay till everybody's gone and do it. They notice those who lock the doors, and they notice those who will come up and pick up trash out of the field. Boss men notice people who've been willing to put in the overtime. And that's who gets promoted. That's who gets raises. That's who gets the blessing and the favor of God on them. That's right. And we'll look at that tonight. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us. Lord, help us to be willing to do more than what's required. God, help us to do more than what's expected of us. And Lord, if there's anybody here just working part-time, just when it's convenient as a Christian, convict us, Lord, of that mentality. Being a Christian ain't convenient. Nothing about it is supposed to be convenient. And so, Lord, help us to go above and beyond, to do more, God, than you've asked us, just because we love you. You said in your word that we love you because we keep your commandments. Lord, help us to prove our love to you, not just by keeping rules and regulations, but by having a relationship with you and showing you from our heart, God, that we're willing to do more. And God, in so doing, to prove that to you, God, we'll prove it to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One verse is being played. If you need these altars, they're open.